So Rabbi Yisai, we're holding in the Perek Dalet of Shar Bitachon, and the last time we learned how the Chavis of Avos tells us that although in Gashmias, in regard to our material well-being, the less we less effort we put in, the better. However, when it comes to Ruchnias, that's in Ruchnias and spiritual matters, there we do have to put in a great deal of effort. That's where we put in a lot of effort. And only a fool would say that I'll only do a mitzvah, Hashem pushes me to do it. Now, we made it clear that that means the mitzvahs that are not optional, the ones that are an absolute chiyuv. Those that are a chiyuv, we have to take the initiative and we have to do them. The area of bitachon in mitzvahs, says the Chavis Levavis, is that we have to have bitachon and daven to Hashem that we should do the mitzvah the right way. And that we should have the koyach to finish. What we start, we should be zeichet to finish. You know, the Welt says, kolos kolos koshes. But andere sagen, unzufangen ist leicht, durch zu führen ist schwer. Others say, starting is easy. To finish up, to durch zu führen, to overcome all obstacles, that's what's difficult. So he says, the Chavis Ovis told us that we have to daven, that Hashem should be marchik, all the tirdis, all the distractions that interfere with the mitzvah, and that we should not lose strength and lose courage and lose enthusiasm. These things we should daven for. That's where we left off. So we continue. So the Chavis Lubavitch says that in this area, the Chavis Hamutolim Aloivorim, in order to fulfill the obligations on our limbs, on our bodies. He said, I'll give you examples of things that we have to do. You must give tzedakah, nesinas tzedakah. You must give ma'aser. You must give a tenth. It's a separate thing. Tzedakah is one thing, separating ma'aser is a separate mitzvah. You must teach Torah to others. To teach others what's right and what's wrong. You must pay your debts. You have to daven for yourself to pay your debts. The beginning of the mitzvah is when you borrow. That's the beginning of the mitzvah, free as chayiv. When you borrow money from somebody, you're starting a mitzvah. You're starting the mitzvah of how to pay back. If you don't know how you're going to pay back, leiv roshim v'lo yishalim. Another mitzvah is lahachzir pikadon. When someone gives you something for safeguarding, returning it is a big mitzvah. Listen, another big mitzvah, he says, is lahastir soit, to keep secrets. So someone tells you a secret, you're starting a big mitzvah. The mitzvah is to keep your mouth shut and don't tell anybody. Hard one. Interesting mitzvahs he chooses. Lahaster site, like it's interesting he chooses these interesting mitzvahs. Another mitzvah he says, Ladaber Taival Chaveiro, say nice things about your friends. That's rough. Rabbis are included in that. So Ladaber Taival Chaveiro, which with that to say nice things and nice things both ways. It's a two-way street. And to do taivas to people. To mechabed your parents and the shver too, Gaitarain, Kibrav, Kvait Chomov. And finally, he said, and to makarav rishayim, to makarav people off the derech, to bring them back, lahach to rishayim b'tshuva el lakim, and to teach people the drachim, the best way to serve the Rabbanei Shlom, and to have rachmanas na'aniyim, and to tolerate people who insult you, and ignore you, and when they insult you, you come back at them, how do you get your revenge at them? That you are ma'ir them to serve the Rabbanei Shlom. So they insult you and they don't treat you nicely. So what do? You give them good advice how to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom better, to be zeichet to all good things. Lahamritz ayisam lakiyam atayra, to encourage them and to put them, give them some, to invigorate them to serve Hashem, and to tell them all the big schar that's waiting for them, and to scare them all the punishments that are waiting them. These are the kind of mitzvahs, he says, that you got to do. They're mutl on us. And this is our job. We have to do this ourselves. Don't say that Hashem will make it happen. We have to make these things happen, he says. So he says, here's how it works. He says, these things, but here, this is very important. I mean, it's pashut. It's very pashut, but it's not so pashut. It's pashut, but it's not so pashut. He says, when you do all these wonderful mitzvahs we mentioned before, make sure that your kavana is only to makarev people el elikim. So if you're in Kiruv, make sure that the Kiruv is for the sake of the Makuruv. If you're a Zaychet to be a Machanech, you're a principal, you're a Rav, you're a yeshiva, make sure you're doing it for the te'eles of the Talmidim and the Mekurovim. Not to make yourself ashamed, not to make yourself a great reputation. And not so people should honor you and say, what a great yeshiva you built over here, what a great kaival you have, what a great shuv organization you built over here, what a great sefer you wrote. If you're writing svarim, writing articles, so you have to write the article for the sake of being Makar of Yidden. Have you building organizations, it's for the sake of those who are the beneficiaries, not for your own reputation, aggrandizement, and covet. And not to get a good salary, a socher, not that people should pay you for this. And not another thing that we don't think about, the Yetzirah, but really it's a big Yetzirah. Listorer aleihem. The big Yetzirah to control people. People don't even realize, I love you. We don't even realize what a Yetzirah we have to be a control person, to be in charge, to have things done my way. So Bezundi Yetzirah. A lot of us, we don't think we have it. We do. We have it in our homes. We have it in our families. We have it in our marriages. We have it with our children. Their wives are very tzibrach and their husbands are very controlling. The husbands, they don't realize it. I mean, they should wake up. But I have children. Children get a lot of body language messages from parents where the parents are in such control and the kids are really scared of their parents. Even the parents don't raise their voices. Their parents don't raise their voices. They don't scream. They never posh the kids so much. But they're so stubborn and so tough and they have to have it their way and there's no negotiation, there's no flexibility, and that comes out in a later stage. So he says he can't, there's organizations where the man who's in charge is a very controlling person and it's got to be his way. And it's sometimes overdone. There's responsibility and there's leadership and then there's power control. It's subtle, but there's a big difference. He says, when you do, you're makar of people, you do things for klal yisrael, you can't do it for yourself. Again, not to get a reputation, not to get covered, not to get a great salary and perks, not to have power over people. This is l'shem shemayim. And then when you do all, then when you have all the right intentions, then you have to be talking about Hashem, that Hashem will help you fulfill all of your goals, your organizational goals that you want to do. Because you're doing it for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Since you're doing it, you're working for God, you can hope that God will help you. And then he says another important thing, and then the critical thing is very difficult, that you have to try your best. All the good things you're doing, tzedakah, kiruv, helping people, learning with people, lending money to people, the gemach, make sure, he says, that you are master as mice of atoivim. You have to try to meitav yecholtoi lahaster kol mice of atoivim mishen hutzarech leidil oileim. You have to keep your big mouth shut, not to reveal to anybody what's going on, unless it's somebody who has to know. If it's somebody who has to know, you tell them. Otherwise, don't brag about accomplishments. Very difficult. If you're talking about it, because you enjoy talking about it, so, it gives me chizuk to talk about it. It's true, but that's a immature level. Says the Chovetz Chaim, you have to try to make up your chalta, you try as much as possible. Some people, they wouldn't talk about what they're doing, they wouldn't do. So, he's not saying close down shop, he's not saying go out of business, but you should know that that is not you have not achieved the ultimate. You have to try to make up your chalta, everybody, to the best of his ability or her ability, everybody has to try the best they can to be master as myself, to hide your good deeds from the people who don't have to know. Because when you hide your mice from Tovim, you get much, much more schar than if you publicize it. Publicizing mice from Tovim diminishes your reward. Meaning it diminishes your success in this world, and it diminishes your reward in Olam Haba, which is a big subject he speaks about later on. We're not going to get there today. But the Chavos of Avos is very emphatic that the more a person reveals what he's doing in this world, then he gets his reward in this olam of revelation. And if you keep it hidden, then morav tuvcha asher tzafanta l'reyecha. How great is the good that Hashem has hidden for those who really fear Him. Those who really fear Hashem keep their actions hidden, and that's chus, the reward remains hidden to a world where the reward is much better. But if you cash in this world, we're very foolish. To cash in olam hazeh is being shortchanged, and Hashem forces us to cash in when we start cashing in ourselves. When we're enjoying it so much, we tell everybody what I'm doing this and that. and it's such a Yetzer HaTzar to talk about it. So he says, if you do it, you are losing out a lot of schar.
Except for those people who need to know.
Those who have to know. You have to make your honest decision. Who has to know? So yes, you're up to you, my friend.
Children, family members.
Whatever you think is necessary, Commander. I cannot. That you have to judge for yourself. Who has to know? Who doesn't have to know? For those who have to know, you can tell them. But those who don't have to know, you don't have to talk about it. We just talk a lot. You know, I'm very humbled by this. You know, we talk a lot what we're doing, and we get a lot of pleasure out of it, and it keeps us going. But that's not right. Any rate, so he says. You know why you're telling people about it? Again, vintage Chavis Levavis. He says, why are you telling people about all the good things you're doing? Because you really think that people count. And you think by telling people, you're gonna be Maitzachayim Ben Nehem. They're gonna think better of you, and they're gonna hold of you. But it's Leloy Toelis, he says, this is shtadlus. Our biggest shtadlus is not to make money. Our biggest establishment is to look good. Our biggest establishment is that people should hold of us. Because really, more important than making money, the only reason you make money is because people should hold of you. Because you don't want to be a schnorr. You don't want people to look at you as a schlump and a schnorr and a nobody. So our main establishment in life is to look good and to people get a little respect over you. We get no respect, you know? We all want some respect. We all want appreciation. That's the Mesil Sharma says, the biggest yates are our biggest. The biggest human desire is not physical pleasure, it's not taiva, it's kavod. And kavod means, from the word kaved, heavy, that people should take us seriously. That people shouldn't, we shouldn't be a lightweight, a featherweight. We want people to take us seriously. We don't get pushed around. It drives us crazy when people don't take us seriously. It really bothers us. Get no respect. I don't weigh on anybody. What I say means nothing. It's just, I'm ignored. Garnished. I'm nothing. Chopped liver, as they say. I'm garnished. So he says, you think that people take you seriously if you tell them how serious you are. You know who I am? You know what I've been doing? Wow, you do those kind of things? Wow, I really have to take you seriously. People take you seriously when the Rabbeinu Shalom puts it in their heads to take you seriously. Kavod comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Only God can make people take you seriously. And you can talk yourself blue in the face and tell people how chashy you are. And that's mamash kalaradi chachar hakavad, hakavad barachas imenu. The more you talk about yourself, the more you're running after kavad. Let's face it, that's what it is. You might, I would never accept an honor out of a dinner. Oh, I never accept awards. Never do that. No way. I would never make him a journal. No. But you know what I'm doing, by the way? Everything I do for say so. You know what I do? I do this, I do that. You know, I'm involved in this organization. I do so much, but I've never taken the award. Better to take the award and keep your mouth shut all the time. And don't talk, the award maybe, the organization will get some $2 out of it and make a few dollars on you. Take the award, but keep your mouth shut otherwise. But of course, our perverse minds, we just do that. I'm not ready for a cover. I'm that guy ready for a cover. He gets awards. Not me. Nah, never. Not me. Of course, no one's worthy of the cover more than me, actually. Because really, I'm not going to deserve the cover. But I won't take the cover because I'm not ready for a cover. You can trust me. I would never have the cover. That's for those kind of people. Zuck there. The reason why we even talk about everything is we really think that Toyeles and Nezek, that advantage or disadvantage comes from people. But the truth is, all advantages or disadvantages only come from their bayre. And therefore, our shtadlus limtzei chein, all of our efforts to look good in the eyes of people, are worthless. So therefore, when you get a mitzvah, say to yourself, oh great, it's a schus, Hashem gave me this mitzvah. What a schus to go ahead and visit someone in the hospital. I'm not going to tell my friends where I was this afternoon. Oh, I went to the hospital. And I went all the way to Manhattan. I went to Columbia Presbyterian. Oh, I went there. Oh, it was such a schlep, so much traffic. I went there. I did such a favor to that koilam. I did God such a favor. A person looks at a mitzvah, Hashem is doing me a favor. Was I lucky? If you want to talk about it, I'll tell you too, and Hashem did me a big, I was zoiche today, that I was zoiche to do this mitzvah. I was zoiche to do a good tzedakah today. I was zoiche to do a mitzvah. And don't be happy because people mishabeich you over this mitzvah. And don't look for kavod because you did the mitzvah. And don't think yourself, don't become a balgaiva. Because if you do that, you're ruining your mitzvah. and your whole mitzvah is losing its whole erech, its whole value is being tainted and corrupted, and you're losing schar, and we don't even realize how much we are mamish. We're walking oxymorons. Even as we do a good thing, we're ruining a good thing. We're tainting, we're poisoning every good thing we do, and we're ruining the purity of every good mitzvah by looking for taking credit and praising ourselves and talking about ourselves and looking for honor. And why are we doing that? What's the real stupid reason for it is? Why do we do these things? Because we want that people should take us seriously. We want to get a little respect. So if you notice people are just looking all the time to get plaques. And there are people like that. They're always looking for plaques. They're always looking for big recognition because they really feel like garbage. The people who are looking for recognition really are really in their hearts. They don't feel much about themselves. They might strut around and look like they really hold themselves. They don't hold nothing for themselves. They're really garbage inside. And because they're such garbage, they're not garbage. I'm not saying they are garbage. But I care. They're wonderful people. But whatever their psychological reasons is, they don't feel good about themselves. And it comes back to their childhood. And they don't feel good about themselves, so therefore, they want people to give them a little respect, so they want that plaque very badly, and where they, a plaque pastinished. So, they feel so garbage, I'm not worthy of a plaque, but at least I tell everybody what I'm doing, and take me seriously, please, will someone out there give me a little respect? No one gave me respect when I was a kid, my parents didn't give me respect, my siblings didn't give me respect, my Rebbe didn't give me respect, no one gave me, can be someone out there, please give me respect, I'm rich now, hello, take me seriously, hey, so, the ma'aseh, they're miskeinim nebuch. These people we're all miskeinim, but the miskein would do well to wake up and realize that his nebuch has a problem and cease to ruin their own lives.
Wouldn't there be a problem announcing pleasures
and shul? No. See, that purpose of pleasures and shul is not because no one's going to think, is to get everybody in the mood to give. It's a great thing. It works. It actually works. Again, we just had an appeal yesterday. I'll see you about it later on, Mitzvah Hashem. And thank you very much for giving me an entree. But pledge and shul, again, if everyone wants to, we'll give anonymous. Maybe that's a great idea. The best way might be everyone gives a $5,000 anonymous. The idea is to show we're giving and that other people, we are influenced by other people. I'm not saying it's the best way. I'm not going to spend so much time on that right now. I'm not saying it's the perfect way. Maybe there's better ways. But the fact is that it's an inyan. There's an inyan of publicly making the davus so that the oilam should be into it. Moshe Rabbeinu made a public appeal that everyone should give to the Mishkan. Baboiker, baboiker, everyone gave. It was a public thing. It doesn't say they gave it b'seiser. And there's an inyan of mefarsim oisei mitzvah. So we're mefarsim oisei mitzvah. Why do we have all these art scroll books about the people and telling us all about the lives of all these tzaddikim who would be cringing? The Chavetz Chaim should be cringing. He's telling all these kibudim about me. Aren't we doing a disservice to the Chavetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Leizer, and the Chaznish? The Teretz is because their example arouses us and their example inspires us. So therefore, if you see somebody else who is in the same income bracket as you and he's giving so much and he appreciates his mitzvah, hey, maybe I should take this more seriously. So it is a tool to get people to appreciate the value of a mitzvah. So it's like hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah? So if you tell your friend you spend more on esrog, it's not such a gefarlich. Because by telling him more, if you're doing it to show how much you love a mitzvah, you're telling your children, I spent extra this year on the esrog, and your main purpose is I want my children to learn, or I want my chaver to learn how important the mitzvah is, that's okay. So hopefully the people who are mefarsim by I can tell you honestly, when I always start off the appeal with a number, which I hope, people say, if the poor rabbi can afford this, maybe we can certainly afford this. Usually works. I should have started a fire yesterday. Anyway, because it costs me money, but it's well worth it because I get this way. We set a standard. Everyone says, hey, why not? People don't even think in such terms. If you start, like my father's shul, they're old people. So the average, the old people, they're talking have no income. They're old retirees. So he's telling me about, the appeals and the shuls. The first guy starts off with $5, and that's it. The whole shul goes, the whole shul, $5. Because the first old man, there is your old people, they're very limited income, but you start with $5. But sometimes it says, someone starts off with $25. Well, okay, we'll also get $25. That's the Eric, their brack. We're not talking $100, $200 people here. But $5 and $25 they can afford. If the first guy starts off with $25, everyone starts giving $25. When I tell him what we give in our shul, he's very impressed. He's very impressed, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, now the Chayav Zavavus is embarking, and we won't be able to conclude this today. The Chayav Zavavus now embarks on a fascinating question. How come, if we're talking about schar v'onesh, and we're saying that the main schar is olam haba, how come the heilig Torah HaKadosha says nothing about the schar in olam haba? There is absolutely no clear statement. There's references, there's allusions, there's remazim, there's hints of a klora vort in the Torah. Yidden do mitzvahs because your schar is an olam haba. Schar mitzvah v'hai al-maleka. The rewards for mitzvahs not in this world. This concept is not clearly stated in the Torah Shebeksav. Certainly not in the five books of Moshe Rabbeinu. As you get more to the Nevi'im, you see some more psukim, more aptufcha she'etzafant l'riyachetz, for instance. But in the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, which is everything that is Nevi'im Eksuvim, is in the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, how come there is really no clear statement about the reward of Olam Haba? It's a very important, very basic question of Yiddishkeit. And the Chavis of Avis, in his brilliance, gives no less than seven fantastic reasons. Some might be familiar to us, but some are very novel. Why the Torah does not speak about Schar Olam Haba? So I'll try to give you a few today, and we'll conclude this in the future. So he says, this is the Chelek Hashishi. He says it's the sixth section of the fourth Perek of Shar Bitachon, and we discuss the Schar, why a person doesn't say the Torah Schar Olam Haba. He says, number one, you know what? The truth of the matter is, because we can't guarantee you, for starters, before he goes any further, this is before he gets to the reasons. You should know, I can't even guarantee you you're going to get your schar olam haba. Really, it's designed that your schar should be olam haba. But you know, you might blow it, and you might be punished, and you get your schar olam haza. Don't think Hashem is doing you a favor. He's not doing you a favor. You might get your schar olam haza. So the Torah doesn't speak about Schar Olam Haba, because then it would be like a guarantee. It's not guaranteed, it's up to us. You could ruin it. We could blow it and Hashem might answer our prayers and give it to us in this world. If we're lucky, Hashem will say, no, have a little patience. I don't want to ruin it and give it to you in this world. Wait, Olam Haba. Don't be so silly. Don't cash in. Don't be a nar. Don't cash in. If you insist, if you demand, I gotta get it, I want it, I need it. So Hashem, okay. So therefore the Torah doesn't speak about Schar Olam Haba, because maybe you don't want Olam Haba. Maybe that will discourage you. Some people might get discouraged by Schar Olam Haba. They have no patience. They're like kitties. They get instant gratifications. They don't shine yet. It's like the Gemara over there, who was starving, so he got the golden leg from his table, and his wife was smart and said, our table Olam Haba is missing a leg. We'll have a shaky table Olam Haba forever. Give it back. I don't want it. I don't want cash in. But that's before he even gets to the seven reasons. So he says, it works like this. It's like this. The first time is because he says, you know, what shaykh that the Torah should talk about schar and olam haba? Olam haba, we are, I'm not going to be marach on this too, you know, this olam. After a person dies, a person goes to the Olam HaNeshamas, not the Olam Haba. After death, the body is recycled in the ground. It's recycled. Comes out a better body. It's like planted. The Neshama temporarily goes back to Yeshiva. So everyone that wants to go to Kailal, we can all go to Kailal Mitzvah Hashem. We can have a second chance at Kailal. That's after 120, when the body is pushing daisies and being recycled, 6 feet under. The Neshama also gets a re-education act. There's a Veterans GI Act. Bunchan says, for those of us who are in the battle for Torah in this world, we get a GI Bill, we get free tuition and the Masifta the Rikia. And all the things you wanted to learn in this world, and you started and you couldn't finish, you finish there. So if you're always learning Daf Yomi all life, the only problem is you only learned Daf Yomi, maybe Gemara, and you haven't even got to Rashi's, and you Taisus, Man Dekar Shemei, and Marshah, who has time for these things? I always dreamed of Gan Shas, but the best I could do is Gemara and Rashi Daf Yomi. So in Masif Derekiah, everything you start in this world, every project, you'll finish in that world. You always want to learn Shulchan Aruch. You came to the Rav Shir on the Shabbos morning, but you're learning Aruch Chaim. You haven't even opened your life a Chayshim Mishpah. You never saw a Chayshim Mishpah, what it looks like. You don't even know. Chaysh and Mishpah, that's the thing that was in the Kayin's breast. No, his breastplate, what? There's Yidden who went to yeshiva the whole life. Maybe the Ktsais, okay. But learning Chayshem Ish, but inside, Eben Ezra, whoever learned Eben Ezra? Eben Ezra, Yerdeya, I never touched sections of Yerdeya, Yerdeya of us. I learned Mishnah Berurah. But at least you started Mishnah Berurah, you had good intentions. So anything you start in this world, you'll finish in the Masifta the Rekia. Then, when you have your re-education, and we're smart enough to appreciate now that education is good for us, that after the Tchias HaMeisim, by Tchias HaMeisim, the Baruch takes the recycled body, which is not so ornery, maverick, and the body is not so unfriendly to the neshama, and it takes the new, improved, educated, invigorated neshama, which is fresh out of Masifta the Rekia, and this time the neshama has the body under total control, and the body is a tatinket to the neshama, and the body doesn't say a peep to the neshama says, get up in the morning! The body jumps out of bed. Now she says, let's learn, don't bottle over here, move, let's go, stop eating so much, move. You have a body, but the neshama is in total control. But this is very hard for us to comprehend. We don't even know we have a neshama. We don't even know what a neshama is all about. We look at ourselves in the mirror, we see a body. So Zok the Chavis of us, how could the Rebbeinu Shel Olam promise a schar and olam haba in the olam haneshamas, which is right after we die, in olam haba, which is when there's a body and a neshama, but the neshama is in charge, and therefore the body functions so differently, it is totally subservient to neshama, and we'll see that we are neshamas. Who can comprehend this? We're so body-oriented that we can't even comprehend the Shama. So why should the Torah speak about the Schar V'Olam Haba when it is a different vocabulary? It's a different vocabulary. It's not even shayach to ordinary human beings to describe the Schar, right? That ayin, the Gemara says, ayin lo'iroa so elokim zulasecha. No eye saw it, Rebbeinu Shlom, except your eyes. Nor the Rebbeinu Shlom really can comprehend it. I can say the words to you, but it doesn't do it justice. So therefore, he says, we'll be like a shtickle like Malachim. And as long as we're in this world, it's something beyond the comprehension. After death, we have the tzur of a malach. And it's a whole different harkava. Our the way we're put together is different. There's still gashmias and ruchnias, but we're put together differently. And it's forever, but it's beyond the comprehension. So that's why the Torah doesn't mention it. One interesting reason. He says, Secondly, that again, I'm saying the answers in order. Maybe I shouldn't, because the truth of the matter is that the order doesn't, it's not a progressive order, so it's like a little, you know, it doesn't really progress to higher levels. His reasons don't necessarily one connect with the other. But I'll say it in his order. That's how he wrote it. He says the second reason is because he says the Torah didn't write about the Schar V'Olam Haba because here the Torah was Samech on Torah Shebaal Peh. Maybe this does, he didn't say something, maybe this does fit into the first part. Maybe he didn't say it, but it would, now that I think about it, it does fit into the first part very well. He's saying, in regard to Schar V'Olam Haba, the Torah felt better to be Samech on the oral tradition, not the written tradition. And what's the pshat? Now it makes sense, Daka, because since he just said in the first explanation that it's so hard to comprehend, so it means that it would have been it's impossible to, in writing, give over Olam Haba. You can't even begin to explain it. It's such a delicate, such a abstract concept of Olam Haba, Olam Hashamas. So that's goofa why it was something that, there is a Messiah, we do it, Zichar Messiah Olam Haba, but it was Daka given Baal Peh, because only Baal Peh can do it adequate justice. So that's the second reason. His third reason is, and I'll just give, there's two more reasons very quickly. His third reason is, he says, it was a chesaron in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, you know what, according to the Teretz, really, we are very sophisticated, Baruch Hashem. We're standing 3,500 years after Mount Torah. He says, again, I'm not even going to attempt to elaborate on this one. He says, in the door that left Mitzrayim, now again, we always call the door that left Mitzrayim the door Deya. We call them the door Deya, the generation of intellect and wisdom. And we say that even though, ordinarily we say that although they had many mistakes and did a lot of Averis, and they rebelled against the Rebbein Shalom 10 times, they had Nisyonis, and they're rebelling, and although they saw the Mun, and they saw open miracles, they saw Kriyas Yamsov, they saw the sky open up at Har Sinai, it's unreal what they saw, yet they're always fighting with the Rebbein Shalom. And we're supposed to look that way. We always look in terms of Nismatu Adiris. We say that that generation was a million times greater than we are. It's beyond the comprehension how great they are. And we don't compare it to them. But the Chavis of Ovid says in regard, in a certain way, you know, it says in the Torah, it says in Devarim Chavtes, V'loi nosan Hashem lachem leiv ladas, v'naim lirois, v'naim l'shumoya ad yom hazeh. Moshe Rabbein himself, before his death, tells Klal Yisrael that for the last 40 years I've been educating you. You've been in my shiur for 40 years. Never in history was someone in someone's shiur for 40 years. They never got promoted to the next year. And Moshe said, Hashem didn't give you a heart to understand, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until today, the day of my death. I'm dying. Now I think you're starting to comprehend what I'm talking to you about. Therefore, says the Chavis of Avos, the Am that was Makabal the Torah, Hoya b'matzav shel sichlus v'havana mitzumtzemes. At the time when they were still getting the Torah, in other words, that would you say they were bigger than us, is in the end, before Moshe died, they finally got it. And he says, you finally got it. It took you 40 years. The Gemara says in the Zohar that takes a person, I made on the full das of his Rebbe for 40 years. Sometimes, when you get to be 40 years old, you remember the Rebbe told you in Cheder. When you were 10, now you understand. So the ganze midbar was a Cheder, and after 40 years, they started, oh, yet Vashteach was Moshe gesagt. So, retroactively, and in many ways, for states, if they were a higher madrigal than we are. But there were certain concepts, Zogt HaChavzavot, they had sichlus, which means stupidity, foolishness, whatever word you want to use, ignorance, foolishness, immaturity, and tzimtzum adas, they had a very narrow vision, and their das was not great, they didn't have the full picture. And again, I'm just saying the words, I cannot say it. The HaChavzavot is a Rishon Gezeizer thing. He says, they could not comprehend. Moshe wrote the Torah throughout those 40 years, and in the end we say Chasuminit, it was given maybe, did he write everything Megillah and every little piece at a time, and then he put it all together, or it was being given, he didn't write it till the end, but the Torah was in the process of being put together for 40 years. During the 40 years, when we would have wanted Moshe to tell us about Olam Haba, the class he was dealing with, Voltas Nitz Vashtanen. We can't understand it, he said. We understand it already. We could have comprehend it. But your question is, why when the Torah was written, it wasn't Olam Haba was written? Because the first graduating class, they had Tzimtzum Adas. They couldn't understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu Zog Zalein. Lo'inos na'ashem lechem leiv lo'adas e'nayim liras e'nayim l'shmoy adiyam hazeh. Till today, the last day. And therefore, he said, the Rebbeinu Shalom had treated the Yidden in the Midbar like a tati, who has Rachman as a little baby, and just like a little baby, you don't make things too hard for the baby, you go very slow, you take baby steps, and you spoon feed the baby, you give him Gerbers, and you have little preparation, and you have to take it very easy on the baby, you don't pat your baby, hey, why aren't you, the kids in the crib, why aren't you walking, why aren't you running marathons, Meshigga, I'm a baby. So the Yidden, at that point, were like babies, and Hashem did it ba'adinus u'ba'adraga. Hashem had to teach them edelkeit and slowly, very, very inches, like the Novi Yosher says, Kinar Yisrael v'yahaveyu. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, the Naranim still, the kids, the mamash kids, they're immature, but I still love them. I love them very much. So on the one hand, Feshteit Zeklaizwa has Sagas, Ross, Ashivcha, Layam, Mashlero Yechezke Mambuzi. Ashivcha saw by the Yams of what Yechezke Mambuzi didn't see the Mice of Merkava. Avad to the sky up without the Klaizwa. So on the one hand, Feshteit are certain things they comprehend much greater than we. But in certain ways, they were still like children. I cannot explain that any further. I can say what the words he says. He says, in certain ways they were like children, and they could not be Masig Adayin, these things. And therefore, when it comes to, like a father, when he's trying to make his kid learn Torah, you have to promise him candy and ice cream and cookies and amusement rides. Because the kid doesn't understand the value of Torah. So he says, the Yidden who left Mitzrayim, this comprehension that Kedai to go 40 years in the desert and to suffer and to toil to get some unseen Olam Haba, this, he says, would not have gone over. It would not have worked. It wouldn't have worked. They wouldn't be maskim. And therefore, the Torah alone, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, he was writing it in the idiom of his door, which is like the basic door. He wrote it for that level. And all of us, we all start up at that level in our lifetime. So even though he's implying that today we understand a little bit better, that's what he implies. He says, Kasher Yagia ben Lemea Bacharis Vesichem is Gaber. He says, when a child gets more mature, he can understand things better and do things Lishma. And maybe that's where we are right now, but in that generation, they wouldn't have understood it. And that's why we understand Olam Haba is the highest Vekas Bashem. That generation still wasn't there yet. They were coming out of Mitzrayim. They were still Makushim to the Gufai Stais in certain ways. So it didn't percolate into them yet. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not mention Olam Haba in the Torah. I think we'll stop here, Rabbi Yisai. Next week, we have four more fascinating reasons why there's no Schar in the Torah HaKadoshah.